Welcome to the Western Pulaski. You just have to adjust the, you don't say welcome chair and members because there aren't any here yet. So, oh, we have one now, chair and member.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, members.
Yeah, what do you want, Representative Pulaski?
Mr. Chair, House File 1114 comes with a request of homing community options. There is a delete everything amendment. I'm going to explain it just briefly. Homing community options has been working with the department, ARM and ARC and others. And the language is the final version of language that has been worked out to give them the option of going from 4 to 5 beds. I have the director of Home and Community Options here, and he'll just briefly describe it, but there's no opposition to the delete everything as it exists now, and he'll explain briefly the bill.
And Mr. Paulson, where does this go after this?
To the floor? I would assume it would be possible inclusion in your omnibus bill is where I think it would probably have to go.
All right, Mr. Paulson, it's, yeah, why don't you go with, make those motions when you get a quorum, and we're not going to actually vote on the bill if it's held over, so you just present it and go
right,
anyway.
But
we'll hear testimony by all means.
All right. So, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dennis Steed, Executive Director of Home and Community Options. House File 1114 has been a process in which our agency, through the involvement of many stakeholders, of which some of them I brought up today, Bridget and her mother, Mary, as well as Board Member Stewart, we have talked at length with all of our stakeholders about the issues with the forthcoming rate reduction that is probable from the budget deficit in the state. As a result of that, we looked proactively on what we could do to maintain quality of service in foster care residential programs for people with disabilities. And one of the plans that we feel is necessary is to allow the foster care licensure to move from 4 to 5 beds for people with disabilities. The language in the bill has a lot of assurances to ensure that the people that are involved in having to move have informed consent and choice of that, including those people that are in current housing that would welcome a fifth person. It also has safeguards to ensure that staffing is maintained or increased to address the additional needs of 5 people living in one home. The alternative that we believe is that with the forthcoming rate reductions that may happen from decisions made by our legislature would be that we would have to downsize our staffing in current 4-person homes to the level that would compromise the ability to get people out in the community and meet their individualized needs. By going to 5 beds, we can allow people the extra staffing or adequate staffing to get people out into the community, address their individual medical and personal needs to a greater level. So that's why we bring it forward with reluctance. That we don't want to go too far with this, but in the short run, it's a bridge to allow us to keep agency funding stable and allow us to move forth with alternative measures that we believe are essential to reforming our system in the future with less resource. Thank you.
Members have any questions? Yeah, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and sorry I came in late today, but and you're moving pretty fast since it's only 5 after. But I just wanted to slow us down a little bit so that we do know what we're voting on here, and there aren't that many members in the room. And I just wanted to ask, and maybe staff can help me, but we have another bill along similar lines, don't we? Another bill that's in front of us?
Mr. Chair, it's this bill, I think. We heard in policy.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. That's what I want to know. I was going to ask what differences there were, but since it's the same bill, I'm good.
No.
Thank you.
And there's a delete all.
Representative Thiessen, we had worked this bill out, actually. I had pulled it back from one hearing so we could work with all the different groups, and then at the subsequent hearing, we had the initial language, and this is the finalization of that language.
Okay. Any more questions from members? Representative Plowski, we're 3 short of a quorum. If you want to head out, we'll see it. Too short of a quorum. If you want to head out, we'll see that it gets that the amendment gets adopted and held over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, we're going to, why are we holding this for possible inclusion?
I didn't know what, Mr. Chair.
Does it interact with
the
rate?
Sure.
That's for now. It can be sent off later, but that's, it says that on the feature, that's all I know. Anyway, so, doesn't have a quorum. Do we have a quorum now?
I didn't.
I'd like to move a House File 1114 be held over possible inclusion. I moved 1114 DE2. Put the bill as we heard it described. Any questions about that? All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed. Adopted. It's held over possible inclusion. See ya. That's in a Hillstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would ask someone on the committee to move House File 818 be recommended to pass and be sent up to Finance with the recommendation that it go to the General Register, because, Mr. Chair, my two amendments are going to make it so it has no fiscal cost. I'll move that, Mr. Chair.
Oh, and you'll move the bill? Who said that? Oh, Representative Rood moves the bill and actually has to go to Finance, and then they'll send it off to the floor. So that, the motion will reflect that. So, and then which amendment is...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to first have someone move the A6 amendment.
Representative Rood moves the A6 amendment. Do you want to tell us about it, please?
Yes,
thank
you, Mr. Chair. What this does is this says that we're going to actually ask for federal money to be what's in the bill rather than the state money.
Okay, any questions about the amendment? Seeing none, ready to vote? All in favor of the A6 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Adopted? Do you have something else?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I need to orally delete sections 14, 15, 17, and 20, and that's the fiscal cost, Mr. Chair. And so as soon as we delete those sections, we have no cost.
No reason to be here. So Representative Rood moves to delete 14, 15, 17, and 20?
Correct.
That takes away the money, and lots of reason for discussion. Anybody you want to talk about not having discussion about that? All in favor of that amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Your bill just got smaller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I have someone from the department to confirm to the committee that now it has a zero fiscal cost. If you
hi, welcome to the committee. You want to state your name and tell us that, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Deb Stevenauer, and I work for the Department of Human Services and Continuing Care, and I just want to verify that there's no fiscal note now attached to this bill.
Cool. Representative Rood, you want to anything else about it, or anybody else want to talk about it? Seeing no discussion, the Representative Rood renews her motion that the bill be sent off to Finance and on its way to the floor. All those in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Thank you, Member.
Good luck in your hearing.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Thiessen.
Just on the 1114 bill.
Yes,
the last one. I don't quite understand how it interacts with rates. When the numbers come down, they'll just be less money to go around.
Do you want to talk about it later?
Okay.
If you want to talk about it. Actually, there's been a rethinking on that from my...
That's all right.
No, we can send it if you want.
Well,
do you want to send it? Actually, that motion would be in order if you want to do it.
It's all right. We can go on. I shouldn't have done that out loud.
That's okay. We're allowed to talk here, actually. So, so now we're going to hear from some people. Is that right? Oh, we have minutes to move. Another. Justin Thiessen, because he was talking, gets to move the minutes. And anybody else read the minutes besides Justin Thiessen? Any questions about them? Seeing no questions, all those in favor of the minutes as moved, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We are just flipping along here. Mary Crinkie wants to. Is she here? Okay, well, she's out. We're here with some testimony about the governor's supplemental budget. We didn't get to everybody yesterday and apologize for that. There's a list of people I'm working off of, and if you aren't here, you're going to get passed by and come back at the end, I guess. Is Kathy Barr here, please? We're not doing well here. Does anybody want to talk about this bill? How about the, I saw Kathy Picard out here. I've seen she's here. So welcome to the committee. It's our custom to give 2 minutes for these kinds of presentations. We actually have lots of time, so I'm only kidding about the 2 minutes. So welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chairman Abler and members of the committee. My name is Kathleen Picard. I'm a licensed physical therapist. I'm here representing the Minnesota chapter of the American Physical Therapy Association. My remarks will focus on the governor's recommendation for the elimination of rehabilitation services under medical assistance, including physical therapy. And this recommendation will impact thousands of people between the age of 21 and 64, those people who will have spinal cord injuries, who will suffer brain injury, who will have strokes, and thousands of people who already have multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, multiple musculoskeletal conditions, and other disabling health chronic conditions. The clients that we serve in PT have broad needs, and that requires an integrated approach of rehabilitation services to address the significant and complex needs that they do have. Having the right services in the right place at the right time, provided by the right provider, is essential to managing the overall cost of those services, cost of the care, and in, most importantly, managing the quality of their personal lives. In fact, rehab services are the very services that these people with disabilities and with chronic health conditions need to acquire the highest level of functional independence, avoid the loss of function, and to prevent the secondary complications that cost the system more in the long run and cause severe negative impacts on the personal lives of those individuals. I'm not here to represent the Courage Center, but I will use their statistics to make a point. Courage Center in Golden Valley has a transitional rehabilitation unit, and in 2008, 105 individuals were discharged from that transitional care facility to community living settings. That represents 95% of the individuals who started in that setting and were rehabbed to the community. What we know about the cost of living in long-term care facilities and institutional care is over 3 times and almost 4 times the cost of living in the community. So why would we consider spending that kind of money to allow those people to live in an institutional setting when they could live at home? And that's every single year of their remaining life. If you look at the math, so much more significantly higher cost than the mere small cost of the rehab services on the front end. We must keep focus on long-term strategies and avoid the decisions that may have short-term savings, but in the long term significantly and adversely impact our economic burden. The Department of Human Services has worked closely with the Physical Therapy Association and other rehab professionals to assure that there is appropriate use of physical therapy services. Utilization is important to us as it is to you. Established in 1999, there's a threshold system that was developed. By that I mean an individual on medical assistance has a lifetime limit of rehab services. And that doesn't mean that those individuals can't exceed that lifetime limit, but when they reach that limit, there are systems in place to consider the services that are being provided and make some decisions about appropriateness and utilization. So those systems have already been in place and are working to minimize the cost of rehab services. The most effective approach to managing these chronic conditions and disabilities is to assist the individuals in maintaining their highest functional level, living in their homes, going back to jobs, becoming productive citizens, paying taxes. This has been a cornerstone of the state's health care reform efforts, and the governor's recommendation to eliminate payment for these services is inconsistent with those very efforts. We understand that the budget presents a tremendous challenge to you, and we believe that all options should be on the table. Both short-term and long-term impacts of any changes to be considered should be looked at in light of the cost savings down the road for the financial health of the state of Minnesota and for the physical and mental health of its citizens. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Picard, while you're there, we discussed actually this topic quite a bit over the last month or since the budget has come out, and I happen to be author of that bill, which is an interesting coincidence. Not that I like all of it. But there was some discussion about when they took out one service, they added back some imputed charge that would be backfilled through emergency rooms and all that. Are you familiar with the math on that, with the physical therapy component?
No, I'm not.
All right. Thank you. But it would be helpful as you take it back to your organization, as and look at the assumption that were made. And I think the department, they were trying to balance the budget. And so they certainly appreciate your services. That's come out loud and clear from the hearings in the meantime. So thanks for coming.
Thank you, Jeff.
Karen, is it Sane from the Minnesota Occupational Therapy? Okay, well, how about Peter Banovic? This could go quicker than we thought. Alec Oberdorfer, Children's Home. Oh, excuse me. Alexis, sorry.
She testified last night.
Oh, she did. Okay, never mind. Michelle Chalmers?
She did too.
Oh, okay. Mary McGowan, did she testify? Deb Field? Actually, is anybody in the audience who wants to testify in the governor's supplemental budget? Oh, yeah, okay. We'll take you in. Yeah, Sue, you're always good for a little testimony. And actually, if anybody else wants to talk about this, we'll take their testimony, and we're going to have some free time today. So welcome, Ms. Abderholden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Sue Abderholden, NAMI Minnesota, National Alliance on Mental Illness. And I just wanted to talk on the supplemental budget, because you already heard me on the rest of the budget.
Right.
And two things. One is we are concerned about the hospitalization kind of elimination from general systems medical care. We know from the people who contact our office that a lot of those people who go on to GMC don't go on until they're in the emergency room of the hospital. So we're a little concerned about how you would provide kind of this preventive care when you don't know that they exist. The second one, while may seem seemingly small, is the 1% cut to the adult mental health grant. And I realize that 1% may not seem a lot, but I have this theory that if you don't let someone know that you were hit, that they'll come around and hit you harder the second time. So I wanted to let you know that we were hit. Clearly we're not dead, but we were hit. And, you know, mental health has always been underfunded for many years. And, again, I realize 1% is not a very large cut, but I just wanted to let you know that we will recognize that it was cut. Thank you.
Any questions for the witness? I guess they did a great job. Is anybody else? Oh, hi. No need to run. We have plenty of time. This isn't a two-minute drill like the last one, 30 people.
Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Mary Gilbert, and I work with Healthy Hospital System. And Kathy Barr couldn't be here today. She was here yesterday, and I just briefly say, Bethesda Hospital is the only long-term nonprofit hospital in the state, and as you can see, it's from the Capitol. And it's got a specialty license. The average length of stay to be a long-term care hospital, you have to have admissions of at least 25 days or more. And it's kind of an example of best practices and reform. We do basically five DRGs up there. It has a couple of specialties. One, large respiratory units that do ventilation weaning. 100% of the patients that we get admitted to our vent units have failed vent weaning from their local acute care hospital, and we have a 70% success rate. We also have a traumatic brain injury program, both inpatient and outpatient, and those, again, are for very severe traumatic brain injuries. We accept them because they are unable to be cared for at their local community hospital. The average length of stay in some of those cases tends to be over 200 days. And then we have a neuropsych behavioral unit, which tends to serve elderly folks, both a locked and an unlocked unit. So we have three real niches up there that we get 85% of our admissions from outside of the healthy system, so we serve patients from all over the state. And 2 years ago, this committee generously provided an extra quarterly payment. They put Bethesda in the top tier of the quarterly payments, and also provided Bethesda and Gillette with a little extra money because we had feared at the time that we were going to have to close our traumatic brain injury unit down because we couldn't continue to operate on the program. And when we got the money, not only did we took it and we staffed up for it and we increased the number of admissions that we had in the program. The governor unallotted that quarterly payment for this year, so we are already running at over $1 million deficit for this year, and by the end of the year, it looks like it might be a 16% reduction that we have if we don't kind of take some drastic steps right now. And so in relationship to the supplemental budget, the governor does use those quarterly payments. In addition to the fact we do have a pretty substantial general assistance medical care inpatient population as well. So we're looking at budget cuts of well over, in a whole healthy system, of $33.8 million, and we ran a $6 million margin last year. So you can imagine that this would put a considerable amount of strain on our system, and it's going to require some action.
And $33 million on a total budget of what?
I think I have it in my briefcase.
What's it about?
So 60%, you know, I'm having a complete... can you tell us my age? The 60% reduction, the 60% reduction for Bethesda is a $70 million budget. You know, to put that in perspective, we're looking at losing 60% of our residents. No, I would have to find it, which would be a miracle. I will get that information.
Well, just put it in context. It would just help us understand.
Right.
Thank you. Any questions for the witness? Is anybody else... Is anybody else going to testify on the government supplemental budget? Any cops from the page have been watching? Pages have been watching this? Oh, they've been at everything.
Go ahead.
Representative Tao wants to go take a nap and have lunch. All in favor of Representative Tao? Adjourning allowing Representative Tao to go have his nap. Say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.